So Facebook is launching free cloud gaming, and it might just be a smarter strategy than all the other players. Welcome to Tech First with John Kutz. Google has cloud gaming, Microsoft has cloud gaming, Amazon has cloud gaming, Sony PlayStation's there, Steam, Nvidia, GeForce, and many other smaller players. Now, Facebook is launching cloud gaming as well, but the strategy and execution are quite different, as is the monetization. To get the story right from the source, we're chatting with the head of gaming at Facebook, Vivek Sharma. Vivek, welcome.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
Really, really good to have you here. You're in Seattle, I'm near Vancouver. We're in rainy days. You said it's perfect time for gaming, so let's talk some gaming.
Absolutely. I love that you are listing such luminaries, and just being in that group is great for us. I think the main thing, which is like really interesting in this space in cloud gaming, is the fact that you can't throw a stone without hitting somebody else doing cloud gaming, right? Obviously, why is Facebook in it? Other than the fact that we want to be a part of this, great list of luminaries, we've been a part of this instant gaming experience for a very long time. You're going to chuckle now, John, because I'm going to mention everybody's favorite Facebook game of all time,
Yes.
Farmville.
Farmville,
Farmville,
invite.
right?
Your
That's
crops
right.
need attention.
That's right. That's right. So here's the thing, like we lovingly look at that moment and it brings a smile to everybody's faces for a good reason, because in like one fell swoop, we went from like 40 million really hardcore, amazing players on PC to, in this web era, Flash games being embedded directly in the most social website of all time, and then suddenly 400 million people, right? Now, of course, as the transition of web to mobile, things change, technology change. You can't play that same game again of taking people's code and embedding it, right? So it took a while before we got to 2016, HTML5. With WebKit supporting HTML5, we were able to bring instant game experiences to Messenger and Facebook. And that was a whole new era. WeChat, of course, took off. I think we'll talk about this, but the mobile app stores are a little bit different. But now, with cloud gaming, we can go back to our roots. We can bring the immersive game experience to the masses. And that is also a part of the difference in our strategy versus a lot of the others.
Well, that's interesting. And we're going to talk about it and we're going to show some of the things that you're doing. But you're launching with some pretty big titles right out of the gate. Can you share a few of your favorites?
Yeah, and of course, this is going to beg the question of why these titles, but I love Asphalt 9. One of the things that's magical about Asphalt 9 is that, it is just the raw action. One of the things that we do on our team is every Friday we'll get together and do play tests, and like repeatedly everybody just starts with Asphalt 9,
I like
right?
your Fridays. Wow.
It's cool to be in gaming. But I also personally, I also love Solitaire Arthur's Tale, because a little bit more of like a progression-oriented game. That's like a game that speaks to me, just kind of like turn my brain off and just play. And it's very, very beautifully built, the game loop. So those two games I'm very much looking forward to, but we have like Roller Coaster Tycoon and others coming over the next few weeks and months. So very, very excited about the lineup.
Excellent. It's impressive. It's also interesting because you've picked games that you think will work best with cloud gaming. And it's kind of interesting. I looked at your press release, which I've seen, and you're very open about the core challenge of cloud gaming. It's not like some of the others I've seen. I won't mention any names. They might have used to have multicolored logos, but that it's going to be perfect. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Well, you're pretty clear. Hey, it's cloud gaming. Latency is an issue. We're picking games on purpose that will work with that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I think top to bottom, our chief concern and product strategy and also just consideration is, look, like we are a mass market company. This is not about locking this into a subscription model and already raising your expectations so highly, and then you're going to hit the subscription fatigue of having something that doesn't deliver the value that you want. Now, that's not me saying that we can't deliver the value. All I'm saying is that we want the casual people who might not even consider themselves to be gamers to pick this up and start playing. Speaking frankly, and this is probably giving you some details of our development process, but on the back of the 380 million people that already play games on Facebook, one of the ways that we have built confidence in this product is we actually already have people playing it well before our launch. And so we have upwards of 200,000 people already playing the game, not knowing it's cloud gaming. And so the best test for us is when people are playing it, and they don't even know what's driving the experience.
Wow.
So that's actually a really interesting way. Yeah, it's a very, I know we told you were one of the first ones to find out, but technically there's people playing these games right now, 200,000 weekly and growing by the day. So it's very, very exciting. But to your point, you know, in a philosophy that really orients itself from top to bottom around the mass market, the choice of games we have, the experience that we're going to show people is really oriented towards that mass market. So if we ever encounter a problem, we're going to say, hey, look, we saved you a shortcut. You can come back and play later when you're in a Wi-Fi connection. We'll tell you up front if the connection is not strong enough. But all that being said, 4G, Wi-Fi in your home, anything that's 1 megabit and above is all perfect for our solution. We're US only for now. Mm-hmm. You know, again, really thinking about how we want to start this journey in a nice way for the developers and players alike. And like that focus also gives us the ability to deliver the experience that we want.
That makes a lot of sense, and makes a lot of sense that you're not starting with a subscription product. You're doing free. You've talked about why a little bit there, and you've got a massive community already using it. In fact, you know, as you told, you've got people using cloud gaming who don't know that they're using cloud gaming. Yep. You are doing some monetization, and it's funny because we've seen playable ads, right? We've seen them on our phones. Yep. You get to play a game and, oh, I like that and I'll try it. And sometimes it's like the game, sometimes it's not.
Yep.
But you're doing playable ads. I mean, they're kind of addable plays. I mean, they're
yes,
almost game demos. How's that work and what should we expect from that?
Yeah, that's a really packed observation. You know, from top to bottom, from your observation that we're not doing subscription business. Yes, free to play. Free to play is the most massive movement, right? Second to perhaps let's call cross play. And these two things interlocking together across multiple devices has led to amazing cross-generational games like Fortnite, you know, Fall Guys, Among Us has taken, not actually a Seattle company, Among Us. And like
Among Us is huge.
Among Us is huge
right now.
Huge. I think the next format, one of these, you know, conversations could be Among Us. But like, you know, it's changing the world. But what is unique about these? Anybody can access them. There's no gateway, right? No subscription wall. It's cross-play across multiple devices. So like we are really listening to how people are playing today, not trying to orient ourselves on like this classical sense of money making. And when money making is involved, we're going to orient it towards the place where developer value is really demonstrably possible, right? So in our worldview, developers should make money from their games through in-app purchases, in-app ads. And if we have to do something about monetization, we'll do it as part of the regular ads model that everybody's familiar with today. The enhancement that we're providing is, unlike the world of today where these playable ads or addable plays are written in JavaScript, which is very different than the actual game. And many times you see a playable ad and you're like, yeah, not quite. I mean, I get it. It's the game. And I thank you for giving me the experience, but it's not the game. But like, think about it from a developer's perspective. Now, they produce the game binary. They give Facebook maybe the first level, don't have to change the code. Mm-hmm. The users and the players see that exact experience as they would be in the game itself. So it's high integrity, high quality.
Yep.
And that magical connection gives discovery, gives all of the attention to the game quality experience. And of course, it benefits Facebook and the developer alike. So it's a very different model than trying to take money directly from users, which I don't think is the right way of doing things.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about platforms because that is a hot button topic right now. You're launching Android, and from what I could see from the release, it looks like desktop web. It looks mm-hmm. like no iOS, including a browser on iOS. Is that correct, first of all? And secondly, why?
That's correct. And you know, John, speaking from a perspective of a developer, it is just an untenable situation currently on iOS. We've had this experience ourselves as a developer, and our game developer community is experiencing this as well. I'm sure you know fully well of the controversies that are going on right now around the developer store policies. It's unfortunate, and it's a shared pain across the industry. One mm-hmm. of the things that I reluctantly bring up is the fact that throughout our history of gaming on Facebook, we've actually not been able to provide in-app purchases to our developers building instant game experiences on iOS. And that actually is a very scary thing because from a developer's perspective, yes, it's okay for Apple to say, well, you can do it on Google. But remember, a developer has to write a game with a game loop that monetizes.
Yes.
So imagine building a game loop that works on Android, but then you can't use it on iOS. Mm-hmm. which then destabilizes their cross-platform strategy, which leads to lower quality games, which leads to a less successful ecosystem for everybody. So this time around, we learned from our unfortunate, you know, lessons. And we said, look, like, we're just going to focus on developers, making them whole the best we can. And honestly, that's on Android, on web, so they can build games with proper game loops with monetization for themselves. Mm-hmm. Not possible in iOS. Mm-hmm. And actually, we've gone and talked to Apple about, just let us do the IAP monetization. We don't have to take a cut. Take the 30%. Just take all of it. But it's still, we are in a bad situation. In fact, the Facebook gaming app that we released in the early part of the year, released on Android without a problem, but it took us over 5 attempts on iOS. And ultimately, we had to pull the ability to play games completely out of the app. So the Facebook gaming app cannot play games on iOS.
It's a bit of a challenge.
It's a bit of a challenge. So that's the, and so we really are just orienting ourselves around developers, quality content, and how can they make money. And if they're successful, everybody else will be successful.
This is a big deal, and it is a real, real challenge here. I just reported on Apple killing a browser app that enabled Google Stadia. And so clearly you're feeling like you cannot deliver, even in a browser on iOS, the experience that you want to deliver and have access to the things that you want. I know on the desktop, you're allowing keyboard and mouse, which I love. I'm excited about. I suck at these little, that's good news, but that is interesting. It's a big message to Apple. It really is, because there's going to be people saying, hey, I've got games from Facebook. I can play them here. I can play them there. I can't play them there. And Apple's going through this. They're being sued by Epic. There is antitrust visibility, let's say, and this is another point for them to consider. What do you hope will happen over the next 3, 6, 9 months?
Yeah, this is a very important point, because it's really easy to point to web and say, look, these companies are smart, go build something for web. But we all know that the experience, if it's not great, people will just shut off that scenario. And in our experience, like, it's, you know, a web page with HTML-based or JavaScript things just doesn't do some things where it like automatically rotates at the right time, finger touch controls. And so I applaud Amazon and others who are trying valiantly, but ultimately it's going to make the entire experience suffer more. And we're going to continue seeing people being disbelievers in cloud, mm-hmm. which then makes it easy for people to say, oh, by the way, it wasn't Apple. It's the fact that cloud sucks. Yes. But that's not where we want to go. We're going to provide a great experience in the places where you can have that great experience. And if we can't do that, we're staying out of it, because it's not, you know, we don't want to sink the entire industry here. Yeah. So I think what I hope is that people recognize that this is a movement that's an industrial movement way beyond one company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing I worry about more than anything else when it comes to cloud is the fact that it's future innovation that's going to get locked. Tim's real argument here is not about, you know, I think people see as like two rich guys fighting. That's not the important part. And I think, as you heard from me, the 30%, go ahead, take it, Apple. But the issue is, gaming is fundamental to how people are spending time together, especially in the pandemic.
Yes.
I cannot imagine a world where you have deep immersive experiences where you require 200 gigabytes of download just to experience it. Other than buying more bigger hard drives for your Apple iPhone, which is not possible. So you have to upgrade your iPhone every year. Like, it's not going to be a tenable model for the immersion we need. So the metaverse, mm-hmm. you can count that out. And in this world where free-to-play and cross-play are dramatically important, when you have one of the dominant operating systems not supporting that, then the entire industry gets crushed. So I actually worry about the future innovation more than anything else here. And so a half-capable web experience is not a standard that I want to live up to. That is not the thing that our players deserve, or where anybody in this market deserves.
Very, very interesting. We'll see what Apple's response will be. Hopefully we'll see some movement there as well. One other aspect I want to touch on, you're building in some safety aspects for gamers. So we've seen things in the past where people are getting harassed or frankly abused in certain ways. You're building in some safety aspects, like they can use a handle, a fake avatar, that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's a critical part of the way we imagine how we expand the market, right? So the Facebook philosophy from always, from time immemorial, has been around building communities. And you can't build a community unless you have some connective tissue. Now, amazing thing about gaming is that you can have a community that has nothing in common except the act of playing games together. But here's the thing. As we all know, when you don't have anything else in common except that shared activity itself, you can't just say, oh, look, I'm John. I live in, you know, of course we talked about it here because we're in a professional setting, right? But like, you're not going to do that in a game. And so we want to reduce friction. This goes in the same way as what we talked about cloud and instant games from Facebook, which is one click, get in there and start playing. Now, if I have to imagine myself doing some filtering, this and that to try and join this community, boy, that's more additional friction. So the reason for that is it's, yes, it's safety, but it just makes sense because you are building a connection and community around a shared interest and not so much about knowing somebody personally, right? And so removing that as a consideration, but making it nice and positive gives you lots of freedom to interact in cool ways. We see this today on the platform where you'll invite your grandma to play Words with Friends, and grandma has a funny name. And boy, is that a good topic of conversation next Thanksgiving. So it opens up even things for friends as well.
It is really interesting because games have gotten so social and had such a community impact. And you play Fortnite maybe or something like that because your friends are playing there, right? We've even seen that some games that are truly immersive, people have started having work meetings in them, right? Bringing their avatars into them. And that's something that is increasingly important. We're seeing that gaming is a place even where we can have a concert or watch a movie together. Or those sorts of things that we, you know, can't quite do in this COVID time. So very interesting to be building that in. Anything else? This has been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's actually, we covered so much. Thank you so much, John, for how much of like a density of quality of content that you provided. But the thing I'd say is, This is a landmark moment in the industry where so many of us are working together. And I think that's the most exciting thing. We want to be the place where developers can make a full earning, where players can not just experience our games, but be an introduction to xCloud, be an introduction to Sony. Like, we are opening up the ground for all kinds of innovation and opening the market for everybody involved. And that's what's really important for us.
Very cool. I want to thank you for your time. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, John.
Excellent. For everybody else, thank you for joining us on Tech First. My name is John Kutsier. Appreciate being along for the show. You'll be able to get a full transcript of this in a few days, maybe half a week at johnkutsier.com. And the story at Forbes will come up when it's possible. I believe it's Monday. We'll check the embargo on that. Plus, the full video will be available after that point on my YouTube channel. Thank you for joining. Maybe share with a friend. Until next time, this is John Kutsier with Tech First.